The name of Jesus, which is above every other name. Hallelujah. What a powerful name it is. Unfortunately, it's become a curse or a swear word on much of TV, which is a great pity. They wouldn't dare shout the name of Muhammad, I can tell you. There'd be riots. But I just remembered something. Years ago, Mary and I were traveling with Mary's parents in a car. And I think if I remember, a car overtook us and we could see a car coming the other way. And as we sat in the back of the car, Mary shouted out, "No, in Jesus' name." We blinked and somehow the car with the trailer got through, overtaking the other way, and there was no accident. I'll never forget it. How it happened, I don't know. It was against all the laws of logistics, but it happened. So the name of Jesus is a powerful name, and everything we need is in that name. I'd like to thank you for allowing us to be here today. It's great to be here. We're part of Ark Christian Fellowship, which is meets two or three villages south of M4, Junction 11. We've been in that for the last 7 years. Before that, I pastored south of Reading Christian Fellowship for 40 years, and then we moved on from there, and now we ourselves, I help the elders there. I don't lead the church we're in now, but I itinerate. I go wherever God opens doors, and we've had some interesting ministry over the years. God opens doors, He shuts doors. We were in Northern Ireland recently. I had a wonderful privilege of meeting an old work colleague I hadn't seen since 1968. Isn't that wonderful? And a lady in our church came up to me one morning 2 or 3 years ago. She said, "The Lord's shown me that you're going to re-engage with people that you've known from the past." Well, that was a good one. And this man helped me when I was in trust banking for 10 years, helped me to grow in the Christian. I probably didn't realize his influence, but it was lovely to make base again. He was well into his 80s. And how wonderful are the ways of God. We never know what surprises He's got, what is coming. Amen. So if you have a Bible, hope you have a Bible. People with Bibles falling apart normally belong to people who aren't. Think about that one. So Genesis chapter 18. Genesis chapter 18. And I want to read to you 14 verses of a well-known story. And I've got a very practical message for you this morning. I trust that it will be a blessing to you. Father, as we break the bread of life, Lord, as we look into your word, will you bless us? Will you speak to us, inspire us, challenge us, Lord, help us, lift us up, whatever we need, O God. May your word be the word of God to us this day, a rhema word to us this day. Hide the messenger, Lord, and just anoint your word in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Genesis chapter 18. Genesis is all about the story of Abraham, one of my favorite characters. And in this particular place, it's a little way into his life story. And it says in verse 1, "The Lord appeared unto him in the plains of Mamre, and he sat in the tent door in the heat of the day. And he lifted up his eyes and looked, and lo, three men stood by him." Isn't that interesting? "Three men stood by him, and when he saw them, he ran to meet them from the tent door, and he bowed himself towards the ground. And he said," now this doesn't come out in the English, but he said, "My lords," Adonai, plural, "if now I have found favor in your sight, pass not away, I pray you, from your servant. Let a little water, I pray you, be fetched. Wash your feet and rest yourselves under the tree. And I will fetch a morsel of meat and comfort you your hearts. After that you shall pass on, for therefore are you come to your servant." And they said, "So do as you have said." And Abraham hastened into the tent unto Sarah, which of course you know means what? Princess. Lovely name. Anyone here called Sarah? No Sarah's here. Pardon?
I have a friend.
You have a friend. Okay. We have a lady in our village who's been through a lot of things. And every time we say her, I say, "Hello, princess." It just bolsters her self-esteem, I think. "And run quickly, make ready quickly 3 measures of fine meal, and knead it, and make cakes upon the hearth. And Abraham ran unto the herd, fetched a calf tender, and good, and gave it unto a young man, and he hasted to dress it. And he took butter and milk, and the calf which he had dressed, and he set it before them, and he stood by them under the tree, and they did eat. Who were these three men? Interesting. The angel of Jehovah, the Lord Jesus in the Old Testament, accompanied by two other men who were probably angelic beings. Jesus existed before he was born. Do you know that? It's a paradox. And they said unto him, "Where is Sarah your wife?" And he said, "Behold, in the tent." And he said, "I will certainly return unto you according to the time of life. And lo, Sarah your wife shall have a son." And Sarah heard it in the tent door which was behind him. Now here's the punchline. Now Abraham and Sarah were old and well stricken in age, and it ceased to be with Sarah after the manner of women. In other words, she was too old to have a child. She'd reached that age. And therefore Sarah laughed within herself, saying, "After I have grown old, shall I have pleasure, my Lord being old also?" And the Lord said unto Abraham, "Why did Sarah laugh, saying, 'Shall I of a surety bear a child which am old?'" And here's the text for today. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Is anything too hard for the Lord? "At the time appointed, I will return unto you according to the time of life, and Sarah shall have a son." Isn't that lovely? My message is anything too hard for the Lord? Before we move into the message, would you turn with me to Jeremiah chapter 32? And I want to make this very practical, because I'm going to give you just five little sections this morning in this message of areas where there's nothing too hard for the Lord. But let's go to Jeremiah 32. And this little phrase, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" That's not the only place it comes, because the prophet Jeremiah, in Jeremiah 32, let's go to verse 27 first of all, and then we go backwards to a previous verse. "Then came the word of the Lord unto Jeremiah, saying, 'Behold, I am the Lord your God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?'" Interesting question. We have to be able to answer that question. And if we know who God is, we can answer it positively. And then would you go back to verse 17? "The man I met in Northern Ireland told me when I was in trust banking way back in the 60s, he had a calendar on his wall, a tear-off calendar. Anyone have a tear-off calendar? And it has a verse on it for each day. And one day he pulled it off and it said, 'Is anything too hard for the Lord?' And then a few days later in the week, it had Jeremiah 32 and verse 17 on it. It was an absolute miracle. And Jeremiah 32, 17 says this, "Our Lord God, behold, you have made the heaven and the earth by your great power and your stretched out arm, and there is nothing too hard for you." So Jeremiah poses the question and then he gives the answer. Isn't that lovely? Nothing too hard. So what a challenging question this is. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? What would be your answer to that question? Our answer to that question reveals our estimate of the power of God and also the extent of our own faith in God. And these are days which are very dark days. Many of God's children are despondent, discouraged. And that always comes from the devil. Despondency, despair, discouragement, the three D's. But if encouragement is needed, we'll find it in this verse. Is anything too hard for the Lord? If our faith needs to be fortified, then I believe that what we share this morning will do the trick and will lift us up. And so the circumstances in which this question arises originally is brought before us in a number of different places. We won't have time to go into them all. But God had promised Abraham an offspring. And he had to have that offspring, and not the least reason, because Jesus would come out of that line of genealogy. So the miracle had to happen. And Abraham was 100 years old and Sarah was 90, if we look at Genesis 18 and verse 11. And humanly speaking, it was absolutely impossible for Sarah to bear a child. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. Amen. I don't know what your circumstances are, but with God, nothing shall be impossible. At first, Abraham laughed in Genesis 17, and afterwards Sarah laughed because it was just beyond their comprehension. And then it was that the Lord himself said, "Is anything too hard for the Lord?" Well, is anything? So I want to give you five areas, five propositions which are based on this great question, is anything too hard for the Lord? And we turn to some scriptures and we see how God loves to do hard things. Amen? He loves to do hard things. So the first one is this. There is no promise in the Word of God which it is too hard for the Lord to fulfill. Now, I don't know how many promises there are in God's Word. One person suggested 30,000. That might overestimate it. But the Word of God says that all the promises of God are yes and amen in Christ Jesus unto the glory of God. And then two little words at the end, by us. In other words, his promises are experienced through his people. And then in another place it says, unto us are given exceeding great and precious promises, by which we are made partakers of the Lord's nature. So God's promises aren't just promises, they are exceeding great. And secondly, when you experience them, they are precious promises. Amen. I wonder if you've experienced some of God's promises and known the reality of them. And someone put it this way once, that you cannot break God's promises by leaning on them. Amen. You cannot break God's promises by leaning on them. And God's promises are not suggestions, they are promises. They are trustworthy. And all his promises are absolutely sure. And Numbers 23:19 says, God is not a man that he should lie, nor the son of man that he should repent. Has he not said, and shall he not do it? So wonderful promises. And every promise that God has ever made will be fulfilled. And there is a promise to meet your need to fulfill hard things that go on within your life. Let me just remind you of one or two from the Word of God. We can apply it to ourselves. God promised that the walls of Jericho would fall down, did he not? That was a miracle. And he said that Rahab's dwelling and her family would be spared. You can read about it in the book of Joshua. Wonderful thing. And then God gave them some instructions by which they had to be obedient. Do you remember they had to walk round the walls seven times, was it? And then seven times on the last day. And the thing that's very hard for Pentecostals and Charismatics is they weren't allowed to say anything. And then right at the end, I think, wasn't the trumpet blown, and the walls fell down. It was indeed a hard thing. And you know, the wonderful thing about it was Rahab lived on those walls. And the Lord said, Rahab, because she's helped the spies, by faith Rahab was going to be saved. And even modern archaeology proves that the little bit of the wall where Rahab lived was preserved, because they found it and all the rest was destroyed. Isn't that wonderful? No promise too hard for the Lord to fulfill. God promised to feed Elijah by ravens at the brook Cherith, and by a widow woman at Zarephath. There was little there in the pot, but God provided for Elijah, fed him by ravens. And wherever we are, whatever we're doing, God will meet every need. We were called years ago before we were pastoring into a faith ministry, and God wonderfully met needs. Sometimes we didn't even have the money for the next day, and God provided needs. And I always remember one day we had a milkman's bill that was due to be paid the next day. We didn't have the money. And at 10 to 10 that night, someone put an envelope through our door, and it was the exact money to pay the milk bill the next day. Amen. So God's wonderful. And then I always remember that I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, I need a suit. And a cousin of mine who... I don't think he even realized it. He came to me one day and he said, I've got two suits you can have. Two suits you can have. Well, not just one, but two. And he gave me the two suits. And you know, apart from the length of the legs, they fitted perfectly. And my mother was a master tailoress, so she could change trousers and take them in and out and do anything with a needle. And then we decided that we needed to get the suits cleaned. So I only had the money to pay for one to be cleaned. Got it cleaned. And I thought, how do I pay for the other suit to be cleaned? And I was asked to play an instrument at a funeral. I was a piano and organ. And the undertaker sent me a cheque for £1.05. Now, why was it £1.05? Because it used to be a guinea until they changed the currency. And when I went to get the suit cleaned, guess how much it cost to clean the suit? £1.05. So that God can meet every need. And then God promised Mary that she would bring forth a son, although she did not know Joseph. Isn't that interesting? And God did a miracle. It was a hard thing. But the word of God says, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and that thing which shall come forth from you shall be called the Holy Son of God. So God did a miracle. And Jesus' birth, conception, was a miracle. I hope we believe in the virgin birth. Someone said once, do you have to believe in the virgin birth? The late Derek Prince said, you don't have to, but if you're going to be saved, you have to. Amen. Because it's a miracle. And it had to be a virgin birth, otherwise Jesus would have inherited sinful nature through the two parents coming together. So he was perfect man and perfect God. A hard thing to do. And do you know what Mary said? Be it unto me according to your word. That was her response, okay? So there is no promise too hard for the Lord to fulfill. Secondly, there is no prayer too hard for the Lord to answer. Amen. One of the great prayer promises in the Word of God is Jeremiah 33 verse 3. Do you know what that is? God's telephone number, Jeremiah 333. And it says, call unto me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty or hidden things which you know not of. And we have to be those who call upon the Lord. And the word mighty can be translated fenced in. It can mean hidden or hard. And the Lord loves to answer hard and difficult prayers. Now, I quoted this verse in a meeting some months back. Mary will remember it. And I'd hardly quoted the verse when the telephone went. And I was given a perfect illustration of the telephone went. I said, well, there you are. I said, we call upon the name of the Lord and he will answer. And the telephone rang. It was a perfect timing. I think it must have been God. But there are wonderful promises that God gives to us. And Matthew 17:20, just show you a couple of verses. Take them for yourself. Matthew 17:20, Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall remove, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Grain of mustard seed. We went to Israel once, and we got hold of a few grains of mustard seed, and I think we put them in an envelope, but we lost them. They were so small. So you don't have to have great faith. Faith as a grain of mustard seed will move mountains. Someone said once that some people have got mountains of faith, they couldn't move a grain of mustard seed. But there we go. So a grain of mustard seed. And then Jesus said, if you will ask anything in my name, I will do it. Isn't that wonderful? And he's interested in not just the big things, but the little things. Often we pray, Lord, give us some encouragement today. It's amazing what happens. Sometimes you can feel a bit down or a bit isolated. And Lord, let us bump into someone today to whom we can be a blessing. Do something today where we see your mighty hand at work. You never know what's going to happen. We did that yesterday. So we went for a coffee at the local Methodist church every first and third Saturday. And I thought, I wonder what the Lord's got in store for us today. Mary started speaking to a young lady who was a real blessing. And then there was another lady there and we were chatting with her. And I asked her what her name was and she said, Françoise. So I said to her, parlez-vous français un petit peu? And she said, yes, and we had a wonderful conversation in French. What a blessing that was, because I love to practice my French. But you never know, there is no prayer too hard for the Lord to answer. When we were in full-time ministry, we never owned our own house for years, but God promised one to us. And it's a whole story of how he supplied that house in a wonderful, wonderful way. And there are many, many ways. It was hard thing, it was humanly speaking, to give Abraham and Sarah a child, and yet their prayer was answered. How hard it was, humanly speaking, for Abraham's servant to find the right person to be a bride for Isaac. That's a lovely story, isn't it? Genesis 24. And he went out by faith, Eliezer, which means the Lord is my helper. And God answered prayer, and he led Eliezer to the right person to be a bride for Isaac. If it's a life partner we need, God will lead us to the right person if we trust him. We've many times over the years, you know, people have gone through divorce and trauma, and yet the Lord has led them in some way to see all that restored, and maybe the Lord brought someone else along. It's been a blessing in the church we pastored. There was one lady there who for years had never been married. She looked after family members and all the rest of it. And then when they all went, she was just left. And there was a man in the church who was available. And I always remember this. She had visited this man and his wife. The wife had died of cancer. And then she said to me one day, I'm really sweet on this man. We have to be careful as a pastor when that happens. And I said, well, let's just pray. And I knew the man was lonely. And she was very sweet on him, had visited the wife, him and his wife, before the wife died of cancer. And I said, let's just pray. And I never did anything. I just suggested to the man, I said, well, you need to pray about if you want to get remarried again, who that should be. I said, have you ever thought about this one or that one? The next we heard, Neil and Ruth were engaged. And they were married. Isn't it lovely? And she'd never been married. She looked after everyone else and never had anything for herself. So God can answer all kinds of problems. How hard it was for fire to fall upon the altar in Elijah's day, but prayer was abundant. And God can even contradict the laws of nature, amen, to fulfill his word. Wonderful. Number three, there is no problem too hard for the Lord to solve. Amen. You may have some problem in your life or in your family, and you've been trying to solve it yourself, but it's failed. Why not ask the Lord to solve it for you? Because he can perform a miracle for you. It is for his glory to do so. He is a miracle working God. There is nothing too hard for him. There are many places. Think of the children of Israel passed through the Red Sea. That was a miracle. God parted the waters. He solved the problem at Marah when they were sick. He came to them as Jehovah Rapha, the Lord, the healer. He gave them water out of the rock. In the Gospels, he turned water into wine. He stilled the storm. I've got a friend who's an evangelist, and his car ran out of oil in a place where he couldn't get any. So you know what he did? He poured lemon juice into the oil thing, and the Lord made it work. Isn't that wonderful? He's a wonderful Savior. He stilled the storm. And if you're going through a storm, God can still the storm. He fed the 5,000. He raised the dead. Amen. And twice we've, through ministry, seen people literally come back from the dead. That can happen. Amen. So what he did then, he can do today. Wonderful miracles. Even in our own day, in the Second World War, do you know there were miracles? The miracle of Dunkirk, the miracle of how Hitler was defeated, and so on. So no problem too hard for the Lord to solve. What is your problem this morning? Commit it to the Lord, and he will help you solve it. It doesn't always happen just overnight, but he'll help you do it. Number four, there is no place too hard for the Lord to revive. Amen. We can get discouraged in our work for the Lord. And over again, people will say, well, it's very hard in this area. It has gone down terribly and it'll never be the same again. But why do we accept that defeatist attitude? Jesus said, I will build my church. The gates of hell shall not prevail against it. He will build the church. 47 years ago, we took over a church that was dying. It had just a handful of people in it. And God did miracles, absolute miracles. We had the worst buildings in town. And the congregation was mainly, I think it was just single ladies, actually. And we prayed. And God turned it all around. We owned property there. There was deficit liability of £60,000 on a house that we owned on the site, and the buildings were an old tin tabernacle, and God turned it round. And he turned it right round, and God did miracles over the years, and we built a new church and did 2.5 rebuilds on the modern church. The Lord increased the congregation by, I think, some 600 or 700% over the years. It doesn't always happen overnight. So there is no place too hard for the Lord to revive. So does nothing seem to happen when you worship? Conversions take place. Few gather for prayer. Keep pressing on. Look up. Is anything too hard for the Lord? We met a man yesterday in a celebration in Reading, and he'd gone to a church, right, Mary? In Buckinghamshire, an Elim church. And he said when he got there, I think there were 5 or 6 people, something like that. And every Saturday, he and his wife are now getting up at 4 a.m. and spending 3.5 hours in prayer. They are seeing the congregation increase and God do things. Amen. So no place too hard for the Lord to revive. And then finally, there is no person too hard for the Lord to save. The word of God in Hebrews 7:25 says he is able to save to the uttermost those who come unto God through him, seeing he ever lives to make intercession for them. No person too hard for the Lord to save. We can look on people and think that they are too hard to save. Might be a family member, might be someone, work colleague. But think of the cases in hand. The woman who was a sinner in Luke 7, wondrously saved by the Lord Jesus. These were all impossible cases. A condemned criminal was converted in his dying hour upon the cross. Amen. Years ago, we were called, there was a lady in the Elim church in Reading, and the pastor was away, and she said, please will you come and talk to my husband, Teddy. For 40 years, she prayed for Teddy. And Teddy was getting near the end of his life. He was dying, and he was at least an agnostic, possibly an atheist, I'm not sure. An atheist is a person without any invisible means of support. That's the definition. One man said, I am an atheist, thank God. I'm not sure what he meant by that. But anyway, I went along and chatted with Teddy. I showed him the scriptures, the prophecies of the Bible, how Jesus fulfilled them, and how this book is so inspiring because it's full of prophecies from beginning to end, many of which have already been fulfilled in the life and ministry and death of the Lord Jesus. Wonderful prophecies, and it gives you the answers to everything you need in this book. Amen. It tells you what life is all about and what are the real reasons why things happen in the world and so on. We got to the end and I said to Teddy, what do you want to do, Teddy? And he said, I want to pray a prayer of salvation. And he prayed that prayer of salvation and I think just a few weeks later he was dead. Amen. No person too hard for the Lord to save. What about the Apostle Paul? A persecutor was humbled to the dust by his sight of the risen Lord. God intervened and did something and intervened and saved Saul. Amen? Isn't that wonderful? No person too hard for the Lord to save. And then in Acts 16, Paul and Silas are in prison, being through a hard time, and at midnight, they're having a good old moan. No, they're not. They're singing praises to God. And an earthquake comes, and it breaks open the prison, and the jailer is frightened. He says, what must I do to be saved? God used 2 men praising God and an earthquake, and a jailer and his whole family got saved, and they were all converted, suddenly converted. Is anything too hard for the Lord? Let me just finish by saying this. When we were at South Reading Christian Fellowship, We prayed in a prayer meeting one night and we said, Lord, will you save one of the the worst person in our village? That's a big prayer to pray. Will you save the worst person in our village? And they would go around the doors at times, witnessing, sharing testimony, giving out tracts. And they knocked on the door of a lady. And this lady was known to be the village gossip. I mean, she knew your business before you knew it yourself. She was known. She had a reputation. And this is what she said. They said, would you like to come down to a gospel meeting? And she said, I had a dream recently that I must go down to that old mission hall down the road. I had a dream that I must go, so I'm coming. And do you know what happened? She came to that meeting. An appeal was given. She gave her life to the Lord. She was a rough diamond. And even in older years, she got baptized in water. Isn't that wonderful? There is no person too hard for the Lord to save. So whatever your problem is, whatever your difficulty, let me just recount again. There is no promise too hard for the Lord to fulfill. We live on promises, not on explanations. There is no prayer too hard for the Lord to answer. There is no problem too hard for the Lord to solve. There is no place too hard for the Lord to revive. And there is no person too hard for the Lord to save. Even in my own family, I've seen relatives who didn't know the Lord who have been saved. Always remember I had an uncle, my mother's brother, and then he started going to church, and then I was told he'd taken communion and something happened in that man's life. Amen. So I trust that'll be a blessing and a help to you. Is there anything too hard for the Lord? Question. How do we respond? There is nothing too hard for you to do. So may God apply that into all our experiences. May we know his blessing. God does not have problems. He only has solutions. Amen. Amen. So we sing a final song. Is that okay? I hope I haven't gone over time.